Genesis chapter number 37 deals with the life of a man by the name of Joseph. And we've been in a series on the ministry of reconciliation. 2 weeks ago, I preached a message on the road to reconciliation. And that road is through Jesus Christ. We learn that in Romans chapter 5, where it talks about He giving up His life for us so that we could be reconciled to Him. In fact, the Bible states it this way in Romans 5, verse number 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." I know we have a lot of visitors that come to Mount Zion Baptist Church. I'm not sure how many we have this morning, but listen to me carefully. The only way that you can be reconciled to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, then currently you're standing before God, according to this verse, is that you are an enemy of God. But that can change in a moment of time. You can be saved. That's the Bible terminology here, by believing on Jesus Christ and receiving Him as the total payment for your sins. If you've never admitted to God that you're a sinner and repented of your sin to trust Christ, you do that this morning at the end of this service. Then last week, we dealt with the heart behind reconciliation. And the heart behind reconciliation is that of a peacemaker. Jesus is our example in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, where He states to us, He is our peace. Then it says of believers in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Or in other words, the equation that we dealt with last week is children of God are to be known as peacemakers. And we ought to strive for peace in our relationships in life. First with God, that begins at salvation. Then with others, brother to brother, sister to sister, and so on. The opposite of a peacemaker is a truce breaker. I dealt with that last week. There are two times the Bible refers to that terminology in our New Testament. One is in the context of perilous times when the end is going to come. One of the descriptions of the type of people that we're going to meet and see in those times is a truce breaker. The other time it's mentioned is in Romans chapter 1, where it deals with those that God turns over as reprobate. In both passages, it defines them as people that are either reprobate or corrupt with reprobate minds. Truce breaker does not equal a child of God. The equation doesn't match. And if you're living your life and you're refusing to be reconciled with God as a Christian, you're backslidden, but you won't get right with God, or you won't get right with a brother, you won't get right with a family member, you are living the life of a truce breaker. That's not the heart behind reconciliation. This morning I want to deal with a man in the Bible that you're very familiar with. In 14 chapters in the book of Genesis, the Bible describes and takes us through the life of a man by the name of Joseph. And in Joseph's life, I want you to get this. Here's the title of the message. He faced a time of brokenness, but in his time of brokenness, it was also a time of blessing. And so I'm preaching this morning on this thought, broken, but in a place of blessing. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to get behind this pulpit. I thank You, Lord, for what You teach me through Your Word. I thank You for the study. I thank You, Lord, that You have put a people here that are hungry to hear Your Word. Lord, I don't want to preach in any academic manner this morning. Father, I pray that You will empower the words that go forth. I pray, Lord, that You'll take them and take them directly to people's hearts and needs. Lord, meet many needs through the preaching of Your Word this morning. May You be exalted. Lord, may we take steps and make decisions that are pleasing to You as a result of seeing the truth of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph, let me take you through his life in a summary this morning, by way of summary. His life was a life where he faced rejection. He faced rejection by his brothers. In fact, in these five verses that we read together before the preaching, we see that his brothers hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. The Bible says they hated him yet the more. He faced rejection. That's a very difficult thing to face. He not only faced rejection, but he faced resentment. There was a deep bitterness in his brothers' hearts towards him, and he knew it. It was exemplified by the way that they treated him. It was clearly seen when they took him and they threw him into a pit. It was clearly seen when they slaughtered the animal, put the blood on his coat, and took it back to his father and said, "Joseph's died. We found his coat." Listen to me this morning. If you have bitterness, you won't keep it in. It will come out. If you don't deal with resentment, you don't deal with bitterness in your life, and you don't deal with it God's way, it will come out. It will be flushed out from your life, and it will affect and hurt others. Joseph was on the receiving end of this. He faced broken relationships. He faced false accusations. He faced loss of responsibility. Think about this. He's in Potiphar's house. There's a great trust relationship that has built between him and Potiphar, so much so that Potiphar said, "Hey, everything that I have, you manage." We talked about stewardship in the Sunday school hour. Joseph was a great steward. We know it because Potiphar said, "Hey, I completely trust you with everything that I own." But in one moment of time, that changed. Think about all the great responsibility he had of managing all that Potiphar owned. And in one moment of time, he lost it all. He lost his responsibility. It hurts when we lose responsibility sometimes. Yet we find in Joseph no spirit of retaliation. We find that when he was reviled, when he was falsely accused, he exemplified what Christ was like, and he reviled not again as Jesus Christ did. I meet many who face broken relationships that they cannot heal on their own. You understand that in a man's relationship to God, God doesn't need to be reconciled to man. God did everything and made it possible for man to be reconciled to God. If you're here and you're without Jesus Christ this morning, God is waiting on you. In fact, Revelation 3:20 puts it this way, He stands at the door and knocks. At your heart door, He's knocking. And He wants to come in. He wants to cleanse you of all your sin and give you a home in heaven and save you today. He's knocking. Therefore, in the man-God relationship, there's only one individual that has to make things right. That's man. Man has to come to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. But in the man-to-man relationship, in our human relationships, it takes two. We always say in counseling, it takes two to tango. There's no one person that's completely right on everything, and there's no one person that's completely wrong. We're humans. We're individuals. We make mistakes. We sin against one another, and therefore it takes two to reconcile. I've dealt with many down through the years and even over the past number of months that are facing a relationship that's broken, a human relationship that's broken. You may have sensed the rejection that Joseph faced. You may have experienced the resentment. You may have even heard false accusations. You may have lost responsibility. You may have been reviled and tempted even to revile back. But I want to give you some instruction this morning on how to handle a situation, how to handle life when you're in the midst of broken relationships. You're broken about that, or maybe you're broken about something else this morning. What can I do in those times? You say, "Preacher, I've done everything that I can. I've tried to mend it. I've tried to go back and humble myself. I've tried to send a gift in secret to pacify anger, as Proverbs says. I've gone and done everything that I know to do to reconcile a relationship, and it's still unreconciled. What do I do next? How do I handle? How do I work through this situation in my life?" You see, it takes two sometimes to be reconciled. When there's two estranged parties, it takes two to come back together humbly. By the way, reconciliation never takes place where pride is present. You'll never have two people come back together where one is living in pride. If you want a reconciled relationship, your step back into that relationship will start with humility, my friend. Reconciliation always begins with humility. We have examples in the scriptures of good people that had broken relationships. How about Paul and Barnabas? They're good men. They were men that loved God. They were men that loved people. They were men that wanted to do right. They were men that gave their lives for the gospel. But even Paul and Barnabas split for a period of time. We have brothers like Jacob and Esau who grew up together, who knew much about each other, but even Jacob and Esau had a parting of the ways for a long period of time. We have people in the church like Euodias and Syntyche who Paul said, you guys need to be reconciled. You need to come together and be of the same mind in the Lord. Good people, believers, people that loved God, but they faced broken relationships. We have other examples like Hosea and Gomer in the area of marriage, like Abraham and Hagar. And the Bible is full of people who faced broken situations, broken relationships in their lives. What do we do in that time? I'll tell you what the natural response is to do. The natural response is for us to run and hide. The natural response is for us to retaliate. The natural response is for us to falsely accuse and make the situation worse. The natural response is to slander and to gossip. And Joseph was a human being, just like you are a human being, just like I am a human being, made of the same red blood that I am made of and you're made of. Certainly he must have faced these same temptations in life, in a time when he was broken. He went from being hated to being hated yet the more, to being thrown in a pit, to being sold to the Ishmaelites, to being sold into Egypt, to being in Potiphar's house, to being thrown into prison, to being brought before Pharaoh, and his life as we know it ends in exaltation as he becomes second in command in the nation of Egypt, and he's reconciled with his family. I want you to see some truths about Joseph. Turn over to chapter 39, if you will, and verse number 21. What's it like to experience the severed relationship that seems unreconcilable? And in the midst of those times, how is it, preacher, that you can say that there's actually blessings that I'm going to get during these times? There's actually things that I can do that will bring God's blessing in the midst of these difficult situations in life? Oh, yes. Look at Genesis chapter 39. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Drop down to verse number 23, if you will. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Go up to verse number 2 of the same chapter, if you would. The Bible says in verse number 2, when he's brought down to Egypt and to Potiphar, and the Lord was with Joseph. In verse number 3, it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. In verse number 5, it says, at the end of the verse, the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So what you're saying, preacher, is this: the Lord can be with me even when I'm in a time of brokenness. That's absolutely right. God can be with you. And if God is with you in a time of brokenness, listen to me, blessing is possible. In fact, blessing is guaranteed if God is with you. We need to make sure in times of brokenness that we're with God and God's with us. We need to make sure that that relationship with God, even though a human relationship may not be working out, it may not be fitting together right now, I need to make sure that my relationship with God is right and that God is with me. And in those times, God can bless me. Jesus Christ had broken relationships. He went to Jerusalem in Matthew 23 and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I have gathered thy children together. Would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." What's the Bible saying here? Christ had done everything that he could. He had reached out to the Jews in every way possible. He had healed many of them. He had done many mighty works in their midst. He had preached and taught and shared parables. He says, "I've reached out to you. I've done everything that I could. I would have brought you under my wings and cared for you, but you would not." He faced maybe what you're facing this morning. "I've done everything that I could do. I've tried to patchwork it. I've tried to go after it. I've tried to make it work, and it's still not working. And I face a broken heart this morning because of it. Let me give you some instructions from the Scripture. What do you do when you do that? What do you do when you face that? Number one, determine to keep serving. In the midst of your brokenness in life, I want you to remember this. Here's the instruction from the life of Joseph. Continue to keep serving God. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 39, verse number 4. Genesis 39, verse number 4. But preacher, the hurt is really deep. It's hard for me even to be around people, maybe. Joseph faced those kind of things in his life. His own family, his brothers and sisters, his family turned on him. But Joseph continued to serve. Wherever God placed Joseph, listen to me, no matter what the circumstances, Joseph kept a servant's heart. Look at chapter 39, verse number 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Here's Potiphar's house. Here's a foreigner. This isn't somebody that is even of the same culture. Isn't even, Joseph doesn't know him real well. He's placed in his house. What does Joseph do? He serves him. He says, I'm going to keep a servant's heart. I'm going to do what I know to do is right, no matter where I'm at in life. Listen, it's not the time for you to run when you're broken. It's not the time for you to hide. It's not the time for you to pull back because you've been burnt. It's the time for you to give yourself to God. It's the time for you to continue serving and put your foot forward every day and say, God, I'm going to give my best and I'm going to serve where I'm at. It wasn't only the only time that he did this. Genesis chapter 40, verse number 4. Genesis chapter 40, verse number 4. The Bible points this out again in Genesis 40, verse number 4. This time he's with the butler. He's in the prison. He moved from Potiphar's house. Boy, he served and look what happened. Life became more of a mess. Now he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Now he's thrown into the prison. Certainly he wouldn't continue serving. Certainly he'd be fed up with God's plan for his life and give it all up. No, look at verse number 4. Genesis chapter 40, verse number 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And what did he do? And he served them. And they continued a season in ward. You know what Joseph's attitude was in life? God, put me wherever you want me. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you by serving others. Let me ask you, in your life, in the midst of your broken situation, where things haven't worked out like you planned, have you committed yourself to serving God and serving people no matter what? Because that is the life that Joseph lived. If we're going to experience God's blessing in times of brokenness, we have to make the decision to continue and keep serving. In a relationship, we give of ourselves. And when it becomes broken, we feel betrayed. We don't want to give ourselves to anyone anymore. We want to pull back. And Joseph didn't do that. He kept giving. He kept serving. He kept investing in other people. He kept sowing seeds of service. Listen to me, Mount Zion Baptist Church. We are going to serve people that are going to turn from Mount Zion Baptist Church. And you may serve somebody and you may invest in somebody and you may take a risk and give of your time, and they may hurt you someday and they may leave the faith. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling myself, preaching to myself this morning, it's okay. You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue serving. We're going to continue investing in people. We're going to continue loving, because that's the example of Joseph in the time of brokenness. Brethren, God's plan in the midst of brokenness is for you to serve. It will get your mind off of all of your hurts if you will take time to look at somebody else's need and serve them. It will relieve your mind of trying to have to figure out how the broken relationship happened, how it's going to be reconciled, what you can do. Joseph poured himself into the place and people that God placed him with. Will you do the same? See a need? Meet a need. When you go about meeting others' needs, you find that yours aren't as big, and you find that God will take care of you. Not only did he determine to keep serving, he made a second choice that's very, very critical. if you're in a time of brokenness, but you're looking for blessing. And that is this: he decided to remain pure. He decided to remain pure. Joseph went from hero to zero in a very short amount of time, all because of one lady who made a false accusation, all because of one lie that was told about him. But Joseph understood that his standing before God was right, that that was what was most important in his life, that I have to be right, I have to be pure before a holy God. Think of Joseph. He faced rejection. He was a young man in a foreign country. He was probably looking for companionship or friendship. Think of how lonely he must have been. And here's Potiphar's wife. And she comes unto him, the Bible says, and he refuses her. And then it says he comes unto her day by day. Every day he faced this temptation. And he refused and refused and refused, and he remained pure before God. Turn over to chapter 39, and I want you to look at verse number 7. Genesis 39, verse number 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me, but he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? As I was reading this particular passage and studying for this particular message, this question caught me. Listen carefully. If Joseph would have given in to sin at this juncture in his life, do you think that he would have had the opportunity to be reconciled to his brothers years later? I don't believe so. I believe that this was a crossroads for Joseph. If he gave in to sin, it probably would have ruined the rest of his life and any opportunity for reconciliation. He would have not ended up as second in command in Egypt to be able to provide for his brothers, and life would have been more of a mess. But Joseph, in his time of brokenness, said, I'm going to do right. I'm going to keep myself pure. Keeping your heart clean is important. It's very important in the midst of a broken relationship. It could affect the final outcome. Make sure you're right before the Lord. I wonder, in your life, in the time of brokenness, if you have been tempted to be involved in sin. It could be a sin of the spirit. It could be a sin of resentment towards that individual that has hurt you. It could be the sin of bitterness or jealousy or anger or hatred. It could be a sin of the body, a sensual sin, habitual sins that will hurt your body, maybe as such as drinking or smoking or drugs. It could be sins of worldliness, where you want to look and dress like the world and fulfill the desires of the flesh. It could be pride. But when you look at the life of Joseph, you understand that he refused to do wrong even when he was hurting. Even when he was falsely accused, he refused to do wrong. I'm challenging you this morning. You want God's blessing in a time of brokenness? You better determine to keep serving. And you better decide to remain pure. Thirdly, you better depend on God's providence. You better depend on God's providence. Joseph didn't try to sit in God's chair. You can't make all the decisions that God makes about your situation. You can't always solve every aspect of every problem that you face. He did not try to become the pilot of his life. He didn't take things into his own hands. He did trust this truth: God's never late and he's never early, but he's always on time. God, in his time, can put things back together. He didn't give up on reconciliation with his brothers. If he would have given up when the opportunity presented himself, he would not have been in the right spirit to do it. He had trusted God's timing. Isaiah chapter 55 says this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. This is what the Bible teaches us. We can't sit in God's chair and we can't figure out all that God's doing. But listen to me carefully. If you're in a broken relationship, listen to me carefully this morning. While you are waiting, you can mark it down. God is working. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to see what God's doing in the picture where you're so broken over a relationship in your life. But I want you to remember this. You keep serving. You keep giving of yourself to others. You keep yourself right. You keep yourself pure. And while you're waiting on God, God's working behind the scenes. God will do His part. God is a God of reconciliation. He's interested in it. He wants it. That's what He does. He puts parties back together. Many times in counseling, one is ready to be reconciled to the other. But this person over here is not ready to be reconciled. And I have seen it happen over and over again. God does the work in this person's heart. And all of a sudden, this person now is ready to come back to the Lord and come back to restoring a relationship. The only problem is, this person is no longer ready. Now listen to me. You have to believe this morning that God is in the business of putting parties back together. You can never give up on a relationship. You keep doing right. You keep serving. You keep yourself pure. He kept his eyes on God. Joseph, in all his relationships, had utmost confidence in God and lived by his principles. Here's what he said to Potiphar's wife. He said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Or in other words, the thing that's guiding me in this particular relationship with Potiphar's wife, I can't have it. Why? Because I have a fear of God. God's relationship to me means more than a relationship with an individual. Here's what he said in his relationship to Pharaoh. And Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He wasn't going to elevate himself. He turned Pharaoh's eyes towards God. He said, "I'm dependent upon God." Are you dependent upon God in your life? In your relationships, are you depending on God? In his relationship with his brothers, in Genesis chapter 45, Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. Watch this, for God did send me before you to preserve life." What was he saying? I'm depending on God. I see God in all of this. Do you see God in what's taking place in your life? Do you have utmost confidence that God knows what He's doing? God is not going to make a mistake. God is always right. Joseph lived by these truths even when life was hurting. Even when he was tossed here and tossed there, he had utmost confidence in God. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. He said it this way, "But God, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good." He not only determined to keep serving, he decided to remain pure. He depended on God for his providence, but he directed his thoughts on God's blessing. Turn over to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, this is a powerful truth. Be a comfort to somebody here that's facing maybe a broken relationship, maybe a time of brokenness in your life. He directed his thoughts on God's blessing. May I encourage you this morning to look for the rainbow in the rainstorm? God has rainbows in times of storms. Here's what Joseph did. Look at verse number 51. God gave him two children during this time. He says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Verse number 52, "And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." All the toil, all the hardship, all the suffering, all the sorrow that Joseph faced, and God gave him blessings that overshadowed all of it in his children. Sir, ma'am, God has the ability to expel sorrow out of your life. Preacher, the hurt that I feel from a strained or broken relationship, will it ever go away? Will it ever get better? I can only testify of what the Bible speaks to us about Joseph, that Joseph faced a lot of hurt in his life over broken relationships, But in the midst of that, the Bible teaches us that God gave him blessings that overshadowed that. God caused Joseph to be forgetful. Sometimes being able to remember is a curse. There are things in your past, like there are things in my past, that have great sting to them. We certainly don't want to dwell on those things. Certainly where we've made mistakes, those are not friendly thoughts. But in this passage, the Bible says, he caused me to forget some of those things. He gave me some things to rejoice about. And those things, as I rejoiced about those things, the things that I would sorrow about went away. God can do that. He allowed him to be fruitful in a place during his land of affliction. The pressure of Joseph's former affliction was being relieved by some present joys. Listen, in the midst of your broken situation, look for the blessing. Look for God to put some things in your life that overshadow some of that toil and some of that sorrow that you faced. Weeping may endure for a night. Psalms 30, verse number 5 says, joy comes in the morning. God gives us joys to be able to rejoice over. I'm closing the message this morning. I want you to know this, God's still in the business of reconciling relationships. Genesis chapter 37 through Genesis chapter 50 cover a period of 20 years, over 20 years in Joseph's life. From the time in which he was separated from his brothers and sold into slavery to the time in which his brothers come back to him to the time in which he buries his father covers a period of over 20 years. Reconciliation for Joseph didn't happen overnight. It was 20 years. But it did happen. Say, preacher, I don't see how it's ever going to happen. You may not see how it's going to happen today. But I want you to know that God's in the business of reconciling relationships. Not only between man and man, but God's in the business of reconciling man to God. You hear this morning, you're without Christ. You say, preacher, my life's a mess. I can't even tell you some of the things that I've been involved in. You probably wouldn't believe me. Will you hear me this morning? Based upon the authority of the Scripture, Jesus Christ died for every man's sin and for all of it. And you can be reconciled to God through the person of Jesus Christ. It's the only way, but God wants to reconcile you to himself. Would you come in faith this morning and say, all I can do is believe what God says, and I want to be reconciled to God. Maybe you're here and you've lived for months or years, and you've lived as a backslider. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not right with God. I don't know if God wants to take me back, but I'd be willing to come back. May I say, oh yes, he does want to take you back. God's standing at your door, and he's knocking. And he wants to come in, and he wants to establish communion again, sweet communion with you. Why don't you be reconciled to God? Genesis chapter 50, last verses that we'll look at. Genesis chapter 50, look at verses 17 through 21. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Reconciliation did take place. I tried to put myself in that picture. I tried to put myself with Joseph and his brethren there and the sweetness that they experienced on that day when things were right again. God wants that It may not be taking place in your life right now, but this morning's message ought to encourage you to put hope in it again. Amen. Say, you know what? God is interested in reconciling people to people and reconciling people to God. Broken, but in the place of blessing.